Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. For this segment, we are going to have not only Pastor Drew Sams, but my 17-year-old teenager, Arnold Arnie Will Sallon. He is going to give us a different perspective, an honest and genuine one, and I might add one that we have not rehearsed. Welcome to the show, Arnie.
Hi.
Pastor Drew, you're still here with us, correct?
I am. Thanks for keeping me on.
It is my pleasure. So, Arnie, I just want you to know you have a clergy person that will be hearing what you have to say, so I would be a little mindful. And I think I kept Pastor Drew on just to make sure you didn't fully embarrass me. Anyway, you have been raised by, to some degree, two tiger moms, a half-Japanese mom and a Chinese stepmom, plus a decidedly kosher dad. For all of your 17 years, what would you like to offer as the good and the bad from the strict and at times lax parenting that you received?
Well, my real mom, I would say, would be the most lax out of all of us.
And she was the half Japanese.
Yeah, she was half Japanese.
Yes,
she sort of just shrugged off getting bad grades and stuff, and just sort of was all about having fun, just being happy when I was with her. But my stepmom is all for the straight A's, but she's not my real mom, so she can't push it too hard. Then my dad is somewhat strict, but not really.
So do you feel that your upbringing gave you good guidance, bad guidance, or do you feel that you needed a stricter hand along the way, or a more consistent one?
I'm not sure.
Well, let's talk about expectations. Did we have any expectations of you?
Yeah.
What were they?
To get good grades.
And were there consequences when you didn't get good grades?
Yeah.
But were they extreme?
No, but they sucked.
Okay, well, give an example. What were some of the consequences?
I couldn't listen to music, I couldn't watch TV, couldn't play video games, couldn't hang out with my friends, couldn't go on the computer.
Okay, but how long would that last?
Well, I remember one time it lasted for like a whole year.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Like 6th and 7th grade.
That was a rough time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, how much would you say, and Pastor Drew, I'd love you to weigh in on this one too. The one thing we haven't talked about yet on the show that I mention in my column is my assumption that in many Chinese and Asian households, divorce is not as prevalent as it is in Western households. So both Pastor Drew and Arnie, I ask you both the same question. You, Arnie, from living it, and actually you lived it too, Pastor Drew, as I understand you, your parents divorced as well. How much do you think, Arnie, my divorce from your mom affected your upbringing vis-a-vis, say, school and academics, and or in general?
I guess maybe I got pissed off that you guys were getting divorced, so I just didn't really care about school.
Okay, so that was a way of acting out?
Not really. I just sort of wasn't in the mood to do the work.
Because you were thinking more about the divorce and it's what it meant to
sort
you?
Of, yeah. I just was more or less angry. Just didn't want to do it.
And you blame that on the divorce?
Yeah.
The anger was generated by the divorce.
Yeah.
I would think that's quite common among kids from divorce. Pastor Drew, what do you think?
Yeah, I think also what I've noticed, and even in my experience, there's such an emotional, I guess, heaviness to the situation that can distract from and cause you to really get distracted from other things, whether it's sports or music or friends or even school for that matter. And I think I've had instances where I remember as a kid going to kind of kids of divorced parents support groups. I think they even had that at our school. Mm-hmm. And it almost became expected that there would be problems, and it was almost like, well, I can kind of lax up a bit on my grades or trying hard because
using it.
Yeah, it's almost like it became like the social norm that oh, you came from a divorced family.
Arnie, did you use the divorce ever just as an excuse?
No.
Okay.
Well, sometimes
better man
with
than
homework.
I am, Arnie.
Say that again, Pastor Drew.
I said, Arnie, you're a better man than I.
Well, I might have like used it with homework. Like, oh, I forgot it at my dad's house, and I'm staying at my mom's house. But
yeah, okay,
that's
you
about
probably did.
That's about it.
All right, we talked about expectations in earlier segments. And in some ways, parents project things they want their kids to do or not do. So I would be curious your take on that, because I certainly know, for instance, when you were younger, that I pushed you in a lot of areas that you didn't really like, specifically in sports. And eventually I got off that and you found another passion. But why don't you talk a little bit about how much fun it was to be on the baseball team that your dad coached?
It wasn't fun at all. I ended up dropping out of it just because I couldn't handle the pressure. I remember that.
But talk about other things in that regard. I mean,
and then skiing, too. Okay. Skiing and snowboarding, that lasted a while. It's like I didn't really like going with my dad just because he was too hard on me about it.
Now, it wasn't just hard. Wouldn't you say it was because I wanted so badly for you to like it that put that made it more pressure-filled than fun, would
yeah.
you say?
Mm-hmm.
So when did we switch? What happened? Did we switch from something I wanted you to do versus you pursuing something you wanted to do? And how did that happen?
Like when I started middle school, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, though.
Don't you remember your elementary school graduation present?
Yeah, I got a guitar.
And what happened from that point forth?
I just started playing a lot.
And? Did you find your passion?
Yeah.
Okay, did we drop doing sports?
Basically, yeah.
Pastor Drew, that's kind of, you know, one of the things that's so interesting is had I continued to push my son in sports, he may never have found the passion that may ultimately be his life's work. We don't know.
And Bruce, for you, I know you love to ski, and I'm assuming you also love sports as well. Did you grow up playing baseball?
I was a tennis player.
Tennis player.
So I was number one on my high school team. So.
Yeah, so there's that. For you, you grew up with those values. In a sense, your identity, too, was found in being a skier and a tennis player, being a really good tennis player.
You bet it was.
And but there was no guitar in your past, was there?
A little bit, but my skill level was a fraction of what Arnie's is, because it wasn't natural. He has natural ability. I had just a rote learned ability.
It's interesting as I hear, you know, that transition when you were younger and knowing how good you are now and how passionate you are about it now. I think in that moment, Arnie, when you received that gift, this is a new possibility for something that was yours. It wasn't your dad's thing. It wasn't your dad's pressure to have you be good at, but it was, hey, here's something. What do you think? And you picked it up and you had that natural ability and you loved it, and now that's become part of who you are.
Yeah.
And I think for parents, it's so great to be able to see, it's, you know, it's not about not doing sports, not about not getting grades, not about not doing this or that, but I think it's helping find how that your child is uniquely wired.
Well, it took me a while to learn that, and I would say that my second son was a little bit of the better beneficiary, a few years less of my pressuring him than I pressured you, Arnie. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Yeah.
That Aaron's passion became art, also was not interested in sports, though he does like to ski, but not near at the level of interest that I have. So it was a harder lesson for you, Arnie. I think you had to deal with the guilt that I felt from the divorce, the expectations that I projected, but ultimately we found your passion, and that's what you're supporting. That's what we support, and now you're developing music in so many different ways, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Pastor Drew, we're almost out of time. Any closing thoughts?
Well, I think it's neat to hear just firsthand experience of, you know, both you, Arnie, and you, Bruce, and I think it's so great for parents to be able to hear out there that it's, in many ways, there's no formula to parenting. It's not about just being a tiger mom or a teddy bear mom or a kosher dad or whatever, you know, whatever the title would be, but really understanding and trying to figure out how your kids wire, but also be able to have that authority parental figure and to be able to guide them and to teach them and to raise them up and not just to be that friend like we had talked about in the last segment.
Well, I couldn't agree more. It is time for another break. Pastor Drew, thanks for joining me for both segments. Arnie, you might as well stay on for our closing if you don't mind. Pastor Drew, I'll talk with you next week.
Thanks for having me again back. Welcome back to the States.
Thank you so much. This is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We will be back after these breaks for our concluding remarks.